Well, our subject is discipleship. Making disciples is our theme for this year, and we're looking specifically these next few weeks on Paul making a disciple of a man named Titus. Now, most of us don't know much about Titus. We know there's a book in the Bible named Titus, but our understanding is that Titus was from Antioch, which was the first Gentile church. And so Titus was Greek by heritage. He was a Gentile. And Paul may have been very instrumental when he went to Antioch to help Barnabas plant a church there. He may have been instrumental in leading Titus to Christ. So this passage speaks of Titus as someone who has a common faith. My true child in a common faith. Even though Paul led Titus to Christ, it was a common faith that they shared together. And God continued to use Paul to help Titus. And of course, Titus multiplied Paul's ministry, and specifically to this island of Crete. Now, this description that Mark read about today about the people of Crete, not very complimentary, was it? They're all liars, he says. They're all liars. And by the way, that's true. Because a Cretan, a liar, said that other Cretans are liars. And so Paul had to affirm that that lying Cretan had said something true about the rest of the Cretans. We wouldn't know anything about lying in our culture today. It is so foreign to our experience. Can you believe the conversations that are going on? One interview this past week, Mr. Todd, Mr. Giuliani, why don't you have the president testify? Well, if he testifies, he'll tell the truth, but the truth isn't the truth. And Mr. Todd said, well, no, the truth is truth. And I'm sitting here going, what a conversation to have. Is there truth or not? Believe it or not, most people believe that contradictory statements are both true. Try that one on. Is dinner at 5 o'clock, Mom, or not at 5 o'clock? It's either at 5 o'clock or it's not 5 o'clock. If you come late, find out whether you eat dinner or not. You can find out what truth is, right? Truth is what corresponds to reality. Truth is a statement that corresponds to the way things really are. They really are. So this morning, can you tell that our subject is truth? In this first chapter of Titus, truth is the focus. And the importance of Titus training and equipping God's people in truth, knowing what truth is, declaring that truth, living that truth. So this morning, let's focus on truth. Does anyone have any idea what we talked about last week? What was the key word last week? Servant. Disciple is a servant. Paul was a servant. Well, today we're talking about a disciple living a life of truth in a lying world. Truth in a lying world. Our culture today is not that different from the world of the Cretans. That was the world prior to Christian faith, before the gospel that penetrated the world. Today we're living in a world that's post-Christian, and some would speak of our world as the post-truth world. So look at Titus chapter 1 with me today. We have an outline. We first are describing the culture of confusion in which we live today. The culture of confusion. Just as an introduction, there were three things that were said about the culture into which Titus was going. Paul refers to the people as empty talkers and deceivers. Cretans are always liars. And the third description is people who turn away from the truth. That's the world into which Titus was sent to present the Gospels and to establish the church. That is very similar to the world in which we live today. First point, I'd like to define the nature of truth. In verse 1, Paul says that he's a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. He wants God's people to have knowledge of what is true. So if we're to begin by defining what truth is, simply said, a true statement is one that corresponds to the way things really are. It corresponds to reality. This is an antithesis of a false statement, which misrepresents reality. Truth is objective. Now, does my opinion change truth? I always like to picture it this way in the natural world. If I were to stand up next to the cross here and deny gravity and jump, will my denying gravity change gravity? No. I'll be a pancake, right? Denying gravity does not change the reality of gravity. Well, if I deny God's existence, does my denial or lack of belief in God determine whether God exists or not? No, he's not dependent on my belief to his reality. Reality exists apart from my perception of it, my perspective on it. Truth is objective reality. Okay, I couldn't help but talk about fake news for a moment. We've been hearing a lot about fake news. Have you noticed most news reports report something that really happened? Most news reports report something that really happened. But one of the things that illustrates this for me is a reporting on a specific topic that is not popular in our culture, and that is the subject of abortion. So I decided to look up a pro-life articles in the New York Times. Now, notice, you do find a statement like this, a headline. Anti-abortion march takes place in Washington. Is that a true statement? Well, yes. Come January time, remembering Roe v. Wade, there's a march in Washington. Now, is there any opinion given in that statement, any perspective that the writer or the editor gave in the news feed? You appreciate this. Is there any perspective in what I just said, Rick? Is that just an objective statement? Well, what if that objective statement occurs on the last page in the corner of the newspaper? Does that say something about that statement? Or if 10 people were fighting for a certain right on the Capitol steps of in Albany, and it's on the front page, does that give some perspective? Sure, it's prioritizing. It's saying how important it is. But do you notice what that march was referred to as? It was referred to as an anti-abortion. Does that give you any perspective on abortion? What would you as a believer in the sanctity of life call yourself? Anti-abortion or pro-life? Isn't that perspective? What I'm saying is that anyone who observes an event brings some perspective to it based on a set of beliefs that shape. Now, does the beliefs change what actually happened? No, but it conveys an opinion of what took place. So when we talk about news, we have to always think about the perspective. We need to train our children. When they hear something, they see something in the media, something said, we want them to say, what's the perspective that's being brought to that subject that shapes that report? Well, is science absolute fact? Well, science describes real things in the real world, but there's an interpretation that goes with that. Same with the Bible. You say, how do fine Christians have different opinions on the Bible? Because they bring a perspective of interpretation to that. So here's the reality. God has revealed truth. We as frail, imperfect human beings are not, we don't fully understand that truth and bring some interpretation to that. So truth corresponds to the way things actually are. However, God is the source of truth. Paul says in verse 2, God who never lies promised. God who never lies promised. So where is truth found? It is rooted in this infinite, immortal, perfect God. Only God is the ultimate source of truth, and he's revealed himself through the creation. He's revealed himself in the scriptures. God is true, and God has revealed himself. Truth is rooted in who God is. If you look at the Old Testament, they had a word for truth called emet. And this word emet was used in reference to God. Keep referring to God is true. He is the true God. What he says is true. God in his very nature is true. And because he's true, his words are true, and his character is faithful. One Old Testament scholar said it this way, it becomes manifestly clear that there's no truth, that is valid truth, outside God, and is true because it is related to God. If you remove God from the discussion, you do not have truth, because truth is rooted in the character of God. Can you see why our culture doesn't know about truth anymore? Because it's left God out. If you leave God out of your equation, if you're not building a foundation on God, you do not have access to truth. John tells us in John 3:33, Jesus said, God is true. And in John chapter 17, verse 3, he is the only true God. And that truth is revealed in his Son. God sent his Son into the world, and he was full of grace and truth. And Jesus says, the truth will set you free in chapter 8, verse 32. And in chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus said in his prayer in John chapter 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And Paul tells us that the gospel is true. So when Paul writes to Titus, he says, God who cannot lie promised. God is true, and he's revealed himself to us so that we can know him and that we can know what truth is. We use our minds and say, okay, I'm gonna figure out what's true, but our minds are limited. God has given us reason, but our reason is limited. God has given us eyes to see and hands to touch, and we can observe the physical world, and we can learn a lot about that physical world, but we're limited in our understanding and interpretation. God has ultimately revealed himself through his word, the scriptures, so that we might know him. So the third point I wanted to focus on is laying the foundation of truth. And there's a phrase that's repeated in this first chapter that caught my attention. And I'll read verse 9. The leader of these churches that Titus was establishing must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, meaning God's word, because it's true, is something we can rely on. It is trustworthy. As taught, so that you may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So I wanted to look at this word sound doctrine, sound doctrine. I thought, what's sound doctrine? What kind of doctrine is sound? Well, the word sound translates a Greek word that is almost transliterating the word hygiene. What does hygiene have to do with our health, right? Cleanliness, health. So he's really saying healthy, and the word for doctrine is teaching. Healthy teaching. What's healthy teaching? What's teaching that is healthy? Well, there's a couple things that I would reflect on when we think about teaching that is healthy. When someone is healthy, they're physically fit, right? They can enter life with vitality. We need to engage in the study of God's Word so that we have healthy thinking. We have holistic thinking. Here's my concern for many Christians. We have a spiritual part of life over here, and we have the rest of life in our thinking over here. We've dichotomized life. We learn about God, but we leave God out of the rest of life. There's a disconnect. And if we have healthy thinking, our understanding of God is not over here someplace, but it's in the very center. And everything we learn and do is related to the center. Isn't that different from truth over here about God? Oh, this is the way I live. I've heard people talk about their subject matters in education as Christians being separate from truth in who God is. So they go over here, let's study science apart from God, or let's study history apart from the most important event in history, right? See the disconnect? No, when our understanding of who God is should shape all of our thinking. Healthy thinking, healthy theology puts God in the center, puts Jesus in the center, and relates every subject, every decision we make, every relationship we have, every action we do in relationship to who God is. That's the challenge of education. That's the challenge of discipleship. Is Christ in the center, or is he put in a little compartment of our lives? Sound doctrine is holistic. Sound doctrine places truth of who God is in the very center. Sometimes we refer to this as systematic theology, and probably the word, kind of the more popular word today, is a Christian worldview, that we put on the lens of our understanding of who God is through the lens of the revelation in his word. Those beliefs shape everything we do. I remember when I first got my first pair of prescription sunglasses. Now, I had a really significant reason to get prescription sunglasses. Does anyone have any idea why anyone would need prescription? Well, driving, of course, would be good, or seeing a golf ball. And since my golf ball goes so far, I needed a prescription sunglass to see the golf ball. So I put on this set, and I happened to get these brown tint ones. I don't know why I got brown tint. I put those on and said, wow, amazing what you can see with prescription sunglasses. Well, when you put the lens of a Christian worldview on your eyes of your life, everything becomes clearer. You can see more clearly everything around you. When you leave God out of your lens, everything is fuzzy. It's not clear. Truth, then, forms the very foundation of family, of society. It is the glue of relationships. Truth is the basis for relationship. Truth is the basis for economic exchange. Having some kind of relationship, I'm going to buy this from you, you're going to give me something in return. I found it interesting speaking to our Chinese students over at McGill Christian Academy. They said the most significant challenge in their culture is corruption. Everybody's getting paid off for doing something. that you could rely on somebody to actually do what you tell them to, they said they're going to do, it undermines all economic interchange. And these are very affluent students whose parents are very engaged in the economic system. You see, if you remove truth, well, if you remove the foundation of truth, God, and a culture that's rejected God, well, what's happening to American culture when you leave God out? The loss of truth, the loss of foundation of trust in relationship. It is so foundational to all of existence. So our challenge is to be developing sound doctrine. Now a moment for an infomercial. These are three of, I call them textbooks, but when they're that thin, somebody else calls it a handbook or a workbook, okay? So I'm using the word textbook for a moment. I'm giving you three examples of classes beginning in the fall for building sound doctrine. I believe as Christians, we need to have a sound doctrine. Now, I devote much of my time to the study of sound doctrine, to apologetics, to being ready to give an answer for the faith that is in me. And I still am challenged. I mean, it's challenging. I don't think we can stand a chance to be prepared for the challenges that we're facing in our culture. A tsunami of immorality, a tsunami of anti-God without having a strong foundation. And I'm encouraging us, as you know, I'm going to say the bad word. Sorry, kids, put your hands over your ears just for a second. School is coming. And with school coming, oh, you didn't have your ears covered. School is coming. Well, so is Sunday school. And so is family night on Wednesday nights. I am encouraging you to be developing your Christian worldview from a biblical perspective to be able to take on the challenges of sharing your faith in an anti-Christian world. Being prepared. I just picked three of the topics. Some of them are going to be Sunday morning. Christian ethics is going to be on Sunday morning, adult Sunday school. These two are coming on Wednesday night. We're calling it Faith Discipleship Academy. One is Beyond Reasonable Doubt. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question about your faith and you didn't have an adequate answer for the faith that is in you? This is a great study. And biblical beliefs, looking at a Christian worldview perspective. More classes coming. So this is an invitation. Sunday mornings, both in the first hour and the second hour, there's adult Sunday school. We call it adult Bible fellowships. There are student ministry, junior and senior high, and there's Sunday school for kids. A great opportunity. You already ignited the engine to come. Just stay one more hour. Wednesday night, Awana, memorizing God's word, student ministry, and now adult discipleship. We're changing the format of Wednesday night from a sermon format. Nothing against sermons. But interactive teaching time, I think, will be very helpful. 4 adult Bible studies for Faith Discipleship Academy on Wednesday night. So I'm encouraging you, looking ahead, it's not that far ahead, commit yourself to a learning time to develop sound doctrine. That's the end of the infomercial, but keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. The fourth point, Paul says, Titus, confront deception and falsehood. Confront deceptive false teachers. There's deception constantly being presented in our culture. And you and I, as adults, go, that's obviously deceptive. A young person does not always see that, does not see the implications of leaving God out of that decision. It is very significant. Be ready to confront those who are deceptive, lying, and have turned from the truth. One of my favorite scriptures, be ready always to give an answer for the faith that is in you, yet with gentleness and respect. We need to be prepared to confront falsehood. And I'll jump to my last point. Fifthly, live out the truth. Live out the truth. Everything I've said so far, I think the focus is, truth concerns our intellect. It concerns how we think. That's important, but that's only half, right? That's only half. Look back at verse 1. He says, knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. Remember, the theme of Titus is the goal of the gospel is godliness. So truth is not simply something we think. That's very Western, maybe. Think that. Truth is lived. Truth is obeyed. Truth is action. Truth is lived out. It's not simply how we think, but how we live. How do we live this? Knowledge of the truth which accords with righteousness. In contrast, the chapter 1 ends with this. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. Or John says in his first epistle, if we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Notice why I kept focusing on there? Truth is not something we just think. It's not saying, at the end of Sunday morning sermon, I'm going to give you a quiz. No, you're not. No, you're right, I'm not. But if I gave you a quiz and he said, let me see if I can get all the points, will that be the measure of a successful sermon? No. It's how you live on Friday night. It's how you live on Friday night that determines the truth you learned on Sunday morning. The truth is determined in how we live. Truth must be lived. So if we're to have healthy doctrine, sound doctrine, John MacArthur says healthy doctrine produces healthy spiritual living. That doesn't mean we should say, it doesn't matter how I think. No, it does matter how you think. But the question, not only learn the truth, but we need to confess when we don't live the truth. We need to live in accountable community that encourage us to follow the truth. And we need to communicate the truth to those who don't know him. So here's my concluding thought. The Bible presents saving truth. By trusting in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins, we can have saving truth. But the gospel is also sanctifying truth, training us to renounce ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. The truth of the Bible challenges us to speak the truth. We need to be speaking the truth because we know the one who is true. And then I want us to be encouraged. This is securing truth. God's truth is in his promises, and God's promises will be fulfilled. We can trust him. We can rely on him. He's going to come through. We can trust him for our lives and for our future. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the truth. Thank you that you are the God who is true, and you've revealed truth to us. You've revealed it in the magnificent creation around us, but more specifically, you've revealed it through your word. Your word is true. Help us to respond to the truth of salvation, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to respond to the truth, changing our hearts and lives, that we live it out by every day and we speak it. Help us, Lord, to speak the truth of the gospel to others. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.